We're really looking forward to having you here in San Antonio, and
I'm excited to be there.
I know tomorrow your new CD comes out, which is just awesome. Is it special singing in French? It's such a beautiful language. Is it as beautiful to sing as it is to listen to?
Oh, it's absolutely my favorite language to sing in. I speak German better and more fluently, but French, I just sing well when I'm singing in French.
There has to be, we can't talk to Ravel, we can't talk to Messiaen, but having someone like Amir Dutilleux around recording, were there some good conversations and things just to have him around?
It was just thrilling that he could be there and enjoy hearing the two new songs. I mean, the Le Temps d'Horloge that we did a few years ago, obviously he was there and very much involved in that. But last summer, the recording of the Cassou songs, which was his idea, by the way, he was the one who suggested that I learn them. It was just fabulous that he could come and take part. And he's fastidious. I mean, he isn't afraid to say, "What was that trumpet phrase there?" He doesn't, he's not shy about getting involved, which is wonderful.
I know there's sort of a premiere that Ricky Ian Gordon's going to be around, that these are some new orchestrations. Have there been some cool conversations, and how do you like singing his music?
Well, I love this piece and his music, his setting of this, iconic monologue from Angels in America is just perfect. It is a perfect match for the piece, and I'm very excited to hear the orchestration. I haven't heard it yet, obviously, because it's new, but I have no doubt that it will be wonderful.
Have you worked with Sebastian Lang Lessing before?
I have not, no, and I understand he's doing a fabulous job in San Antonio. Everybody's very excited, so I'm
Yeah.
looking forward. He's conducting my entire tour, almost all of the concerts, so I'm excited to be working with him.
It's a neat tour as well. I mean, I know that's probably part of just you have such an awesome career, but to go through and be able to share these different things in different spaces. How is that for you? Because these will be all incredibly different spaces to sing in.
I'm so used to that at this point. One adjusts for the acoustic, and I've also learned how to become aware of an acoustic. And it's not just the different halls, but how halls change between the rehearsal and when the audience is there can also be very dramatic.
Yeah.
And that's part of our job. And one of the ways in which experience teaches is it enables us to very quickly adapt.
Are there favorites on this program? Because I know there'll be selections from the new CD. I mean, I think everyone loves the Ravel, but are there some favorites for you on the program?
Well, they're all favorites. I mean, when I make a program like this, particularly for a new place, it's also I'm thinking of the audience and thinking to say, this is a little bit of a piece of the various worlds that I'm involved in. So you have opera, song literature, things that are more contemporary and things that are older. I mean, most of my repertoire is 20th century, the late 19th century and 20th century. I don't sing so many things that are earlier than that. And my voice is actually more suited towards that music, from Richard Strauss, if you call Strauss at the heart of it. And here I've got the Lehár and the Korngold sort of representing that world. Then it's just, I think, nice for the audience to have that kind of variety.
For me, that's such Strauss and Korngold, those guys are such pillars of this sort of golden age. I mean, orchestration, this incredibly romantic, I think of sort of molasses and sweet and just huge gestures, that it probably has to be really fun to have these instruments to be able to work with.
Definitely, yeah, and having an orchestra also, which is such a point of civic pride for every community, I think, and being able to perform with that orchestra, it's a very lustrous situation for the community to kind of be engaged in music. And I also think now there's nothing more exciting or gratifying than a live music experience. Because, you know, now that not only do we know that that recordings can almost be anything, the technology is such that anyone and anything can be transformed, a live experience is so much more authentic in a way, and particularly in classical music where it's completely acoustic. You know, I mean, I'll have a microphone for the Dark Hope selections, but otherwise this is a natural acoustic experience. And to share that and sort of not only have the excitement of the orchestra, but also the human voice at its most trained, at its most virtuosic, can be especially thrilling for the public.
You mentioned technology, and I don't know if all of our audience knows that you send out tweets, Renee's musings on Twitter.
Right. Yes.
Is that sort of just being in the 21st century and something that you do? Do your daughters follow your tweets or anything?
It's something, I think, social media just is another networking device for fans and for people who want to learn about your work to find out about it. And people have really embraced this in a big way. I mean, I write everything, but I don't post them myself. And you know, I sort of try to stay. It's funny, you get in the habit of thinking about it at least. So I'll say, you know, gosh, what am I doing today? Let me just say something about this. And it gives you a kind of a personal, also a personal relationship with the people who are following your work. That I think is very nice. It's a step beyond, you know, Miss Fleming is appearing at this on this date in this place.
Well, I notice, I think one of the most recent posts has been about the Chicago Lyric. And we're all, I think, really thrilled that you're involved there and this exciting new project about Bel Canto.
Yes, Bel Canto is very exciting. I mean, I'm thrilled that we'll have this opportunity to have the piece commemorated in that way. And, you know, Anna's been a friend of mine for a very long time, and I just thought, you know, I'm sure we could find composers who would really be thrilled and honored to work with this piece. So it's a little bit of a different method, because typically composers are hired and they choose the subject. And so this was a little bit coming from a different point of view, as having the subject and saying, you know, reaching out to composers and saying, are you interested in working with this subject matter?
I think people will... we're such a Latin city here in San Antonio, and I think having a Peruvian composer could be will be terribly exciting.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah, and also Nilo Cruz, who is also Latino. I mean, this is rare to have, and the opera probably will be composed a big chunk of it, at least in Spanish.
Yeah,
I mean, I think their thinking is to represent the languages spoken by the people in the book, and there's only one American in the book.
Who knows? Maybe there'll be some Japanese and Spanish.
I think that's the thinking, yes.
Oh, cool. That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And opera is really perfect for that kind of representation, because we have to have super titles anyway. Nobody can understand us otherwise.
Has this been important for you to sort of take a new role as our artistic advisor? I can't remember exactly the title that you have.
Creative consultant.
Yeah, creative consultant.
Yeah, it's been important, but, you know, it's been especially interesting and exciting. You know, I've loved learning about everything that goes on backstage in an opera, how to produce it, what the challenges are. In terms of finding new audiences and maintaining the audience and keeping the art form relevant today, it's been a fascinating journey, and I've only been doing this for 1 year now.
We're looking forward to those sort of things, and I think we've all enjoyed the stuff that the Met's been doing with all the HD broadcast, and really,
yes.
You know,
yes.
The technology has gotten so much that, you know, we're always astounded when we're like, we see you backstage, or, you know, that sort of thing, and talking to various hosts, or, you know, talking to things. It's a pretty amazing world to bring such a great old art form into this sort of technology centric era that we're in.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I agree. And a lot of things have changed in the 20th century. I mean, the rise of popular music and the rise of technology, as you said, and frankly, the changing technology in terms of how music is disseminated and comes to the public. I mean, that's changed dramatically. And with each change, we've seen a whole new surge in interest. And who knows where this is all going? I mean, maybe eventually everything will just be streamed. I don't know. But I tend to be a pragmatist in that respect. I don't sort of say, oh gosh, too bad things aren't the way they used to be, but more how to evolve and remain current.
Going back to, you know, something you said earlier, I mean, it's wonderful to have these sort of streaming and recordings and whatnot, but live music is so special that, you know, while we enjoy this, I think hopefully it grows the art form, and that, you know, someone that goes to see the Met in HD might go, oh gosh, Renee Fleming's going to be in my town. I want to hear her.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we hope. Yes. Exactly. I think HD opera presentation has really had a positive effect in that it's become so much more accessible and more available to more people, and not just here, but around the world. So that's been a huge benefit to me also, because I'll go to a new place and discover that I already have an audience because they've been going to these broadcasts.
Plus, you can eat popcorn.
Exactly. I'm all for that. That's a favorite, yes.
Oh man! Well, we're looking forward. I know you're going to be busy this month, going from here in San Antonio to Canada and California and Washington, and some more recitals that are planned. What else is up for you? I know the Met will be pretty awesome next year. What are you looking forward to over the next couple of months?
I'm singing a new production of Arbella at the Paris Opera, and that's always thrilling for me. And the Met next season is Otello, I think they finally announced. And around that, I also have an interesting South American tour next fall. So I have a great summer. I'm involved in various things in London and concerts all over. So all exciting. I have a Live from Lincoln Center broadcast on April 6th. And the concept is, you know, the voices of me, because it's third classical, a third with Josh Groban in music theater, and a third with the band of Dark Hope.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, tune into your television stations for that.
The idea of singing live, you're going to be here on tour. Is there sometimes, is there any pressure when you know it's going out to millions as opposed to just thousands?
It's just wonderful, frankly, to have that kind of exposure. And we hope we have, you know what, that would be our greatest hope, to have audiences that large. Because typically our we're still in a niche. And the more we can do to expand, I mean, I was watching a rerun of The Voice last night with my daughter, and I think, boy, this newfound fascination with performance and with singing is only a great thing, between that and American Idol. I mean, the fact that people are so interested in it and that the ratings are so high bodes well for us.
And they have thousands of people that try out for this, and I think people really love to sing. And whether it's, you know, rock, pop, jazz, blues. I mean, our president has sung the blues now, you know.
He's pretty good, I thought, too. Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, I think that people, it doesn't cost anything. You know, people can sing without training and discover that they have talent. You know, it's the most accessible of all of the instruments, and people really love it. The other thing that's great about it is it's very individual. Everybody sounds different. And then you add personality and training and skill. And all of these shows are interested in someone's real skill, both in terms of range and power and pitch, but also communication and style. So in every way, I think it really points in the direction. I mean, what I do, it simply belongs to, it's the same thing, but it belongs to a centuries-old tradition.
For me, it's amazing the effect. I mean, 20 years ago, if we said, oh, yeah, we're watching Seinfeld, that, oh, that there's going to be a TV station that's going to have a show about singing, about a glee club, you'd be like, right. Oh, yeah, right. Sure, John. But, you know, gosh, it has sort of permeated our culture where there's even, you know, not only these reality shows, but these shows that focus on singing.
Yes, exactly. I just think it's all good.
Well, congratulations on Poems. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's out tomorrow. And
Yay.
We're really looking forward to having you here in San Antonio to kick things off.
Thank you. I look forward to coming.